Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's New Education Majority Poll Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Wade Henderson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Lexi. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on today's call. I'm Wade Henderson, and I'm the president and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund and the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. The Leadership Conference is the nation's premier civil rights coalition with more than 200 national organizations working to build an America that's as good as its ideals. The Education Fund is the education and research arm of the coalition and builds public and political will for civil rights laws and policies. We are here today to share the results of our second annual New Education Majority Poll. I'm joined on today's call by our pollster, Matt Hogan, a partner with Anzalone List Grove Research, who will briefly highlight the key findings of the poll, and by my Leadership Conference colleague, Liz King, Director of Education Policy, who will discuss our recommendations based on the findings. Now, we commissioned this annual poll because we wanted to know how Black and Latino parents and families view the American education system's success in educating their children. Much of what the poll reveals isn't really a surprise for us. We've heard much of this from the people we work with around the country. I can imagine that this may not be all that surprising to you either. But it was important for us to have data to support what we believed to be true. That's why these findings are important to our national discussion of education policy. These findings can help policymakers, advocates, activists, and education practitioners better understand what parents and families of color want for their children and from their children's schools. And we want these data to help jumpstart a conversation about education policy that actually reflects the desires of parents of color, because right now it doesn't. Policymakers have that opportunity right now with the implementation of the new Every Student Succeeds Act law. States are currently developing plans for how they are going to make sure that their schools are doing their jobs well and educating all students as part of their obligations under ESSA. These plans are an opportunity for states to make a clear declaration about their belief in the education of all children, particularly children of color, and their commitment to ensuring children get the education they deserve. From what we've seen so far, states are not sufficiently responsive to the needs and desires of parents, families, and communities of color. States are still developing plans and policies that fail to address the institutional inequalities that prevent our nation's schools from serving all children, and this is actually something we think has been underreported in the news right now. But we are expecting the U.S. Department of Education to do its job and to review the plans to determine whether they meet the legal requirements and the spirit of ESSA. If the plans don't, we expect the department to reject them. Now, as you'll hear in a moment, Black and Latino parents know that their children aren't getting the best education we can provide to them. These results should be a clarion call for policymakers who must come to terms with the fact that for any education policy to be successful, it must be responsive to the needs of all children, especially those who now make up a majority of public school students in America. Now I'll turn the call over to Matt Hogan to go through the data. Matt?
Thank you, Wade. Our poll was a national survey of 1,200 Black and Latino parents and family members conducted by telephone with an even mix of landline and cell phone dialing to reflect the high share of cell phone-only households in these communities. And all Latino interviews were conducted with bilingual dialers. Our second annual poll of new education majority families found that perceptions of racial disparities in education remain strong among Black and Latino parents and families, and in some cases are even more pronounced than last year. Among both communities, there is an overwhelming sense of racial inequity in school funding, with 90% of African Americans and 57% of Latinos rejecting the notion that schools in their communities receive the same amount of funding as schools in white communities. For African Americans, the already strong sense of racial inequity in both funding and school quality has increased since last year by 7 points on funding and by 8 points on the quality of education, with 74% now saying that the quality of education that Black students receive is worse than the education white students receive. This funding disparity evident to new education majority families is especially important because they cite a lack of funding for students of color as the biggest cause of racial disparities in education when they are asked in an open-ended question. While a lack of funding is seen as the biggest cause of racial inequity in schools, over the past year, we have seen racism having risen to becoming the second biggest cause among both Black and Latino parents and families, with the share of each community citing racism as a main cause of inequity in education rising by about 9 points. Additionally, we also found inequity based on the race of teachers. New education majority families whose child's teachers are mostly white are more likely to believe schools are not really trying to educate students of color than those with mostly Black or mostly Latino teachers. Among Black parents and family members whose child's teachers are mostly white, only 42% believe that schools are trying their best to educate Black students, 16 points below the share of those whose children have mostly Black teachers. This trend holds among Latinos as well, with those with mostly white teachers 8 points less likely to say schools are trying their best than those with mostly Latino teachers. In addition to these findings on racial inequity in education, the poll also explored the priorities for these families for their child's education. It found that Black and Latino parents and families continue to place a premium on high expectations and academic rigor for their children. Above all else, these parents and family members prioritize high-quality and well-equipped teachers, the fair treatment of students, and the opportunity for students to take challenging classes. When asked specifically about priorities for school funding, strong academics and resources again top the list. For both communities, access to books and computers, the opportunity to take challenging classes, and the retention of quality teachers are top priorities, with extracurricular activities, vocational classes, and after-school programs seen as less vital. Both Black and Latino parents and families overwhelmingly believe that students today should be challenged more in school than they currently are. Nearly 9 in 10 Black parents and family members believe that students should be challenged more in school rather than that they currently work hard enough and don't need to be challenged more. Similarly, 81% of Latino parents and families believe students should be challenged more. I will now turn it back over to Wade.
Thank you so much, Matt. And now our Director of Education Policy, Liz King, will highlight a few of our recommendations. Liz?
Thanks, Wade. Before I talk about the recommendations, I wanted to flag one additional difference between this research and other polling that's out there. We specifically did not want to poll Black and Latino parents about how they felt about specific policies that are currently being debated. Based on our recognition that these debates themselves are not framed or presented through the lens of Black and Latino community priorities, we wanted to get to the root of the beliefs and priorities these parents have. That said, we do see some pretty concrete policy recommendations flowing from the results of this poll. You'll see the full list in the summary document, but I did want to flag a couple here. Given the context of ESSA implementation, ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act, as Wade mentioned at the start of the call, the federal government, states, school districts and schools have a great opportunity in this moment of change to put in place policies that are responsive to the needs and values of the new majority of public school children. First is the need to remedy disparities in resources between schools serving children of color and those serving white children. This disparity was identified by poll respondents as a significant problem and has been well documented in court cases, academic research, and by many of you over the years. Access to excellent teachers and rigorous courses is especially critical. Next, policymakers must create more and better opportunities for Black and Latino parents to be heard in decision-making about schools. We have seen some states make significant efforts in ESSA implementation to engage educators and communities. We need to make sure, however, that Black and Latino parents are at those tables and in those meetings. Finally, we need to ensure that every single school is organized around excellence for every single child. Parents in this poll spoke to the value of a state's rating of a school's success in educating children well, a central piece of ESSA's accountability requirements, as well as the need to ensure educators have the support and preparation they need to support every child's success and overcome historic barriers to opportunity. Most of all, however, we encourage everyone throughout the entire education system to take a look at these results and ask more questions. Our nation's future depends on how well we educate all children. Black and Latino parents have a lot to say about what that looks like, and we think it's time for the national and local debates to reflect those views. Again, I encourage you to reference the full summary document, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thanks. Back to you, Wade.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate it. Operator, I think we're now ready to open up the lines for Q&A.
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your touch tone phone. You may withdraw yourself at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star and one on your touch tone phone. We will take our first question from Charles Hallman. Please go ahead.
Yes, I read the poll information. I'm curious about it. At the end where it said, just before the recommendations, it said that extracurricular activities, vocational classes, and after-school programs were seen as less vital to Blacks and Latino parents. That's interesting because that seemed to be, that's proponents always say that that helps in the kids' overall growth in school. So I wondered if you could address that just briefly. And then also, was this poll conducted throughout nationwide, or was it balanced in certain terms of region, or there was some, you know, there was one region higher than the other?
Those are both good questions, Charles. Let's ask Matt to take that on. Matt?
Yes, great questions. To your first point, regarding the point about after-school programs and extracurricular activities, to be clear, those were certainly viewed as important to these parents and family members. You know, we had about 80% saying that they were very important, each of these areas. So it's not that they don't view them as important. They just didn't quite attain the level of importance that we saw on, you know, specifically more academic-related things, such as, you know, ensuring the right amount of books and instructional materials, challenging classes, and high-quality teachers. Each of those, rated in terms of, over 90% or about 90% in terms of being very important. Those are certainly higher than the after-school programs and extracurricular activities. That's not to say that the extracurricular activities aren't also seen as important. To your second question, yes, this was a nationally representative poll, so the results and calling was done based on geographic apportionment based on the U.S. Census among both communities.
Thank you, Charles. Operator, we'll take our next question.
Wonderful. We will take our next question from Jorge Macias. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Jorge Macias with Excelsior Newspaper. You were talking about the perceptions of racial disparities among Black and Latino parents, but we have heard this conversation about these perceptions for many decades ago. 10 or 20 years. Are these politicians are playing politics with the education of Black and Latinos? That's the number question. And the second, with the new Secretary of Education, Betty DeVos, do you believe that she will have the political will to help Black and Latinos to really be successful in the new economy of this century?
Great questions, Jorge. Liz, why don't you take those?
Sure. Thank you so much. I do think, and I'm glad that you pointed out that these are not new problems, that what we are talking about is a new measurement of a long-standing problem, and what we are hoping will come from this poll is a new mobilization to solve these long-term problems. So I'm glad you put that in that historical context. I think you're exactly right to raise the question about whether this current Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, really is committed to excellence for Black and Latino children. I think we've seen recently in the budget cuts that were proposed in the past week that there is a real question about whether Secretary DeVos has that commitment. And what we saw was a budget that was not reflective of the values of Black and Latino parents. We saw a budget that was not organized around high expectations and high achievement for all students. We saw a budget that was not about providing the supports that students need to overcome historic barriers. So we do have very real concerns about whether Betsy DeVos, Secretary DeVos, is committed to excellence for Black and Latino children. And so what we are hoping is that this poll will raise that question over and over again so that we can be asking, is this the right budget? Are these the right priorities to serve Black and Latino communities? So we have real questions, and we do hope that those questions are asked of Secretary DeVos.
Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. Great question, Jorge. Operator, we'll take our next question, please.
Wonderful. We will take our next question from Peter White. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm a little bit shy about asking this question. It's sort of a devil's advocate question, but I'm here in Nashville. We have a really dynamic new director of schools who believes in the things that you've been saying about high expectations for students. In fact, it's the only option, he's want to say. And yet, I have two kids in the school system here in Nashville. And, in AP history classes, they don't let the kids have the history books. They don't let them bring them home. In the AP trig classes, they don't even use books. And so my question is this, the new budget is taking money away from a lot of programs that help minority kids, like 22 of them, I think. And in its place, some of the money they save by cutting these programs, they're putting into like vouchers for religious and private schools. I'm talking about charter school movement. And we know the only one that the feds support in D.C. didn't really have much success. Their scores were not very good. So my question is, let me put it this way. If we, I forget what it's called, but you socially pass kids that don't actually really make the mark, social promotion, I think it's called. If you have this ideal that says we want really tough standards, and yet you're socially promoting all these kids by not having good teachers, by not having textbooks and that sort of stuff, isn't it sort of incumbent on the professionals that run our public education system to do better, regardless of who's Secretary of the Education Department?
Very good question, Peter. Very good. Liz, why don't you take that?
Certainly. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate the question. I think that you raised another important point, which is there is definitely a federal education policy agenda, but we know that most of the decisions made about schools happen at the state and the local level. And so that's why with this poll, we want to see decisions reflected at every level that reflect the values in this poll, so that when Tennessee is having a state debate about how and where and when and with what to fund the schools in Tennessee, that conversation is informed by Black and Latino parents in Tennessee. And so I think you're very right to point out the relationship between access to adequate and equitable resources like the strong teachers that we heard about in this poll and high achievement for all students. And so from our perspective, that's why each one of these debates at every level of the system needs to reflect the new majority of parents served by those systems. And I think that's what we're really pushing for, and that's the type of change that we're asking for. So it is not just a question of how does the Secretary of Education view these challenges, but it is absolutely a question of how does each state government and how does each school district and how does each school view these challenges, and how are they rising to the challenge to ensure access to excellence for all Black and Latino children and, in fact, all students in our schools.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Of course.
It's about public-private education. Is the majority, is the new minority majority in public K-12 schools reflective of the national demographics, or are we creating a two-tiered education system where better off white families send their kids to private schools and, you know, the public schools get the remainders?
Liz?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I think that you are pointing out especially a regional phenomenon in the South. We know that the history of private education in the South has very much been about white children excluding themselves and families excluding white children from the public education system. Our colleagues at the Southern Education Foundation have done a lot of really great research about this. When we're talking about the new education majority, we are talking about the majority of children being educated in our public schools, and the majority of all children in our public schools are children of color and low-income children. So definitely would encourage you to look at the resources provided by the Southern Education Foundation that provide some really important breakdowns of the data, especially regionally, given the specific history of private education in the South and the way that it has been used to reinforce the kinds of inequities that we see represented in these polls.
Thanks for that tip. I'll do it.
Thanks, Peter. Operator, we'll take the next question, please.
Wonderful. Our next question is from Esmeralda Fabian. Please go ahead. I apologize. We're not able to hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Sorry, I had it on mute. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, my question is about if you ask these parents if they even understand what the New Education Act is, the SSA, and if they seem to understand the new Educational Act. And a second question is, you mentioned in one of your recommendations the parent involvement, and I wonder if they mentioned if they want more, they want more local school control, or if they want more you know, power on school choice in their schools, and if they see charters as their option to meet their education expectations for their children.
Matt, why don't you take the first half of Esmeralda's question, and Liz, you can take the second.
Sure. We did not ask specifically about ESSA in the poll. We did ask some focus groups last year where we asked whether some awareness of it, just if people had heard about it, and there was very little awareness in the 10 groups we conducted. We probably had about over 80 participants, and I would say less than five, had heard about it. That was over a year ago. But certainly at that time, there was not much familiarity with it at all.
Thanks, Esmeralda. And then I would just add to your question about sort of parent involvement in school governance that what we heard in this poll was a high emphasis on high standards, high expectations, strong teachers, access to high-quality educational materials, and fairness in how all children were treated. And we did not ask specifically about school governance, because we wanted to really think about what do these parents want in the school. Whatever the public school is that their child attends, however that school is managed, what are they looking for in that school? And so that's what we heard, and we think that those results would be consistent across management, you know, structures, that what parents really want is schools that have high standards, high expectations, strong teachers, access to books and technology, and that all children are treated fairly in those schools. And so that's what we really heard as most important in this poll.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Operator, we'll take our next question, please.
Our next question is from George White. Please go ahead.
Yes. The poll says that both black and Latino parents overwhelmingly believe that students today should be challenged more in school, more than they currently are. The Common Core standards are designed to challenge students more. Is this polling result a sign that many parents aren't aware of the new standards, or they don't think the new standards are challenging, or maybe it's too early to for them to gauge the impact of the new standards?
Good question, George. Why don't we ask Liz? Why don't you take that?
Thanks, George. I think that's a really great question. And what I hear underlying that question is a recognition that there is a disconnect between the policy conversation and the policy debate that is happening in elite circles, that is happening among politicians and policymakers, and the real desires that we're hearing from black and Latino parents. So what we're hearing from black and Latino parents is support for the kind of education that Common Core should help to facilitate. College and career readiness for every child, high and consistent standards across all communities, and really challenging all of our children to achieve their best and to reach their potential. So I think you have illustrated one of the reasons why we did this poll, which was to understand what do parents want when you take it outside of this policy debate, which, as the last question illustrated, parents may or may not know what these policies are called and what these policies are about, but what we wanted to hear is what did they value and what did they believe. And we do, I will say that as an organization, our experience has been that Common Core is a way to help achieve the kind of education and the high quality instruction and the standards and the high expectations that parents want. But really, we did want to hear what it is that they wanted, not in the context of a policy debate, but really at its core what they were looking for. And I think you're right. We heard the same thing, that one of the things they're looking for is the type of high and consistent standards that we saw in Common Core.
Thanks for your question, George. Operator, we'll take the next question, please.
Our next question is from Henrietta Burrows. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm calling you from the East Palo Alto Today newspaper in East Palo Alto, California. We've heard several times during this discussion about the ESSA Act, Every Student Succeeds Act, which was enacted in December 2015, which would have been under the Obama administration. And we've seen one part of that act about states developing plans to be reviewed. And I'm wondering what else is in that act and what are the requirements and how do those requirements correspond to some of what the parents in your poll want now? And also one question for you, Liz. You talked about all of the things that were not in the education budget. Could you talk about some of the things you saw in the education budget?
Great questions, both, Henrietta. Let's let Liz tackle both of them. Liz?
Sure, thanks. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, all of the things that are included in the Every Student Succeeds Act. And right now we know that states are developing plans for how they are going to educate all of the children in their state. But we know that this planning process is only the beginning and that the Department of Education is going to be responsible for ensuring compliance with the law. And some of the other provisions included in the law that we think are going to be incredibly important for parents to be advocates for their own children and communities, some of the data requirements around reporting data, access to rigorous courses, access to per pupil funding at the school level, and other information, whether it's school discipline disparities, which we know can help to push black and Latino children out of school. So access to that type of data, as well as the funding provided in the law to serve high poverty schools, schools educating a concentration of poor children, which are disproportionately schools likely to be enrolling black and Latino children. So I think there's some value in seeing, making sure that those funds are reaching the schools that they're supposed to be reaching, and that they're being used for high impact interventions, things like really increasing teacher quality, and ensuring that every child has a great teacher and that every child has access to the instructional resources that they need. So those requirements in the law are going to need to be enforced by Secretary DeVos. And so we are going to be working with partners of ours at the state and the national level to hold states accountable and really push the Department of Education to make sure that schools, districts, and states are doing the right thing and raising achievement for all students, especially historically marginalized students. Now, you raised the question about what's in the education budget proposed by the Trump administration, and we did see continued funding for programs like Title I of ESSA, but we also saw a proposal to use some additional funding under the ESSA in a scheme that would take money away from higher poverty schools where there are more poor children and send those same dollars to schools where there are fewer poor children. And that proposal is certainly something that makes us nervous. In addition to proposed cuts to raise teacher quality, which is, again, teacher quality such a priority that we heard in this poll, and then support for after-school programs and school counselors and alternative approaches to school disciplines to create the kinds of fair school climate that we know that help children to succeed in schools. So we are concerned both about some of the proposals we did see in the budget to take funding away from schools with poor children to give it to schools with fewer poor children, as well as the cuts that we saw proposed in the budget. So certainly we do see these pieces working together, and that is why we did this poll, so that we would have policies that were actually informed by and based on the priorities, values, and beliefs of Black and Latino parents. So thank you for that question.
Great question. Operator, we'll take another question, please.
Our next question is from Kyle Garcia. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having this discussion. I had a question about how does the perception of inequality affect parents and students? Are parents less willing to engage with the school? Do students not want to attend school? Stuff like that.
It's a great question, Kyle. Liz, why don't you take that?
Thanks, Kyle. It's a great question. It's not one that we were able to answer with our poll, but I think we have seen a lot of research that's come out lately about implicit bias in our educators and the ways in which, you know, we see this poll and parents' experience of the differences, the different experience of a parent whose child's teachers are mostly white versus whose child's teachers are mostly Black or Latino. We see that as reinforcing the research we've been hearing about the implicit bias of educators and ways in which educators have lower expectations for children of color. So we see that kind of research fitting together. Certainly there has been and there needs to be more research about the ways in which parents and students experience the types of inequality that the parents reported in this poll. I will say from our perspective that the disparities in achievement, the differences in graduation rates between white students and Black students or Latino students, and the differences in grade level achievement, those differences which are often called the achievement gap, we see very much related to the types of disparities and opportunities that the parents reported in this poll. So that's certainly another way that we see that affected, is that we see differences in achievement that are a result of differences in opportunity. In terms of disengagement and frustration with the school system, that's something where we certainly do need more research. It's not a question we sought to answer or were able to answer in this poll, but there is other great research out there that helps to answer that question.
Thank you so much. I had a second question, if that's okay. If not, I can get back to you.
Of course.
Okay, great. So then, did parents compare their schools with schools within the same school district? Like if there's a school that had a majority white community and another school that was just down the road? Or what would happen if there was no school in the same school district without a white majority?
Liz?
Thanks. So when we ask the question, and I can, you know what, why don't I take it to Matt and he can talk about the specific phrasing of the question. I don't think we're able to know whether they were making a comparison within the district or sort of another school they know in another place. But Matt, can you talk to sort of the differences that parents thought about communities and how that question was phrased?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it is basically just about their overall perceptions, so not necessarily comparing their school to other schools around them. So the wording was Do you think schools, and depending on the universe, African-American or Latino communities receive the same amount of funding as schools in white communities? So that was the funding disparity question. Then we also asked a question similar along those lines, specifically about quality. In general, do you think the education black or Latino students receive in U.S. schools is as good as the education white students receive? So it really wasn't localized. It was much more about their, you know, overall perceptions.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. Operator, we'll take another question, please.
Certainly. To ask a question, please press the star, then one on your touch-tone phone. We will take our next question from Khalil Abdullah. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can, Khalil.
Okay, thank you, Wade. So my peers have asked most of the questions that I've wanted to ask. George White on Common Core, and also Peter talking about his experiences in Nashville. So just to frame my question, basically I don't see a large disparity between the percentage are mostly black teachers or mostly white teachers question. I mean, you're talking about 39% versus 50. I mean, it's just not that large a difference. And same thing with Latinos. You're only talking about 7 points differential between mostly Latino teachers and mostly white teachers. So I have a couple questions. Some are related to Common Core, but more to how you conduct the interview and the polling is one part. Was there any questions asked about the level of educational attainment of the parents themselves? Subset question being, how can they evaluate the schools if they haven't really been through a rigorous program themselves? That's one question. On the policy question in terms of this conversation, and this is maybe more of a philosophical question, how do you begin to address this issue when there's no questions being asked about the actual content of the curriculum themselves? And this what I mean is basically the absence of the history of African Americans, the history of Africa, the history of Latinos in the public school system itself. And then the third part is really more in terms of your reference, Wade. This is directed to you, and I know you're on your way out, and we love the work you've done. How is LCCR going to deal with its allies when you already know pretty much from your own information that you've stated that this is a disaster in the making in terms of educational policy and how it's going to impact African-American and Latino students, given the current biases of the current Secretary of Education in terms of her penchant for public versus private and charter versus a robust public school system. So to reduce it again to three parts, one was, how do you go after the parents in terms of determining their level of understanding of the school system? Two, how do you deal with the content of the curriculum? And three, what exactly do you plan to do when you say you have allies and you're going to ramp up and go after this particular Department of Education in terms of the policies that we see on the horizon? Those are my 3 points. Thank you.
So, Khalil, those are three good questions, and they divide nicely between Matt, Liz, and me. So we will do
correct
that, and then I think, operator, we'll bring the press conference to a close. But let us answer Khalil's questions first. Matt, why don't we start with you?
Sure. To your comment about the differences between perceptions between those who sent their children to a mostly black school with mostly black teachers versus mostly white teachers, we saw among African American parents, we saw a 16-point gap on the question of whether they are really trying to educate, doing their best to educate black students. With mostly black teachers, 58% saying they are not, and among mostly white, 42% saying they're not. So that's a 16-point gap. The margin of error on this sample is just 4 points. So that's pretty significant. And then again, we saw a similar trend, not quite as pronounced among Latinos, but the gap was 8 points among them. So, in both cases, significantly outside the margin of error. So we feel pretty comfortable with that takeaway. Similarly, we also asked, we kind of saw a similar trend when we asked about perceptions of, their child's school, looking specifically at the students and parents who sent their children to school with mostly white students. This is black parents who sent their children to mostly white students were far more likely to rate the school as excellent, 47 points more likely than black parents who sent their children to mostly black schools. So on both those measures, we saw very statistically significant trend. In terms of question, we did ask educational attainment question for all respondents. The one thing I would note there is we tended to see, well, we saw high sense of perceptions of inequities across the board among both communities. Those that were more educated in both communities were even more likely to see racial inequity in education than those without a college degree.
Thank you,
Matt. I'm happy to talk about the curriculum point. I think you raised a really important point about the very many different decisions that are made in the course of the education system. And a lot of the time we're talking about the big policy questions, but you're absolutely right. Some of the questions are about whose history is being taught and how, whose story is being told and by whom. And I think that's an incredibly important point, and that is part of why we are working hard to make sure that the voices of Black and Latino parents are heard. And we think that that has ramifications for all education decision making. And one of our most powerful recommendations is the need for people throughout the education system to aggressively and assertively include in all of the decision making Black and Latino parents so that they can be a part of the decision making when it comes to deciding whose history is told and how and whose story is told and by whom. And so I think I'm really glad that you brought that point up. I will say with some of the more qualitative research that we've done, it is not always clear that parents know what's going on in a school day to day, but they are hearing from their child and they do have a sense of whether they feel as though they and themselves and their family and their community is welcome in a school or if it's not, and if that school is expecting the most out of their child or if it's not. And so we really did hear that expressed in the poll, even though we didn't hear specifically answers to questions about the experience with a curriculum and whether or not that curriculum represents the respect that every family is entitled to and the value for the diverse cultures represented in our public schools. And so I think that's a great question and something that we would like to do additional research on and something that we think would very much be shaped by a more inclusive decision-making process. Wade?
Thank you, Liz. Okay. And Khalil, your question, the third element of your question, went to how will we use this data to better advance our goal of achieving equitable educational opportunity, equal educational opportunity at the state and local level based on the passage of the Every Student Succeeds Act and what the data we've gotten from this poll, and it's a terrific question. Let me remind all of us that on the 17th of May, the nation commemorated the 63rd anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. And while Brown transformed the nation by ending racial segregation as a general matter, as had been known prior to that point, it never achieved the real promise of educational opportunity that was held out on behalf of America's most vulnerable children. 63 years after the Supreme Court spoke in Brown, we are still struggling to achieve that aspirational goal. And while the Every Student Succeeds Act is certainly not a panacea because it has indeed given more power to state and local communities to fashion their own educational solutions, it does provide an opportunity for parents and committed activists in communities across the country to organize themselves to have real impact on how the local school system addresses the overall federal obligation to educate every student with meaningful equal educational opportunity. The state plans that are a part of ESSA that require the school systems locally to work with parents in fashioning solutions to some of these challenges is an important opportunity for parents across the board, but most especially Black and Latino parents, to organize themselves into a political force for change. Secondly, we know that only by organizing and working in coalition are we going to be able to achieve the goals that we share in common. Black and Latino parents have a common affinity to bring together the pressure from their respective communities, communities of concerned individuals, regardless of race, who want their school systems to reflect the values that we share as a nation and provide the kind of opportunity that serves as an incentive for people to come to those communities is something that we share, and we need to try to develop that and make it happen in the most meaningful way. And then thirdly, even with the ebb and flow of political power in Washington, there is a certain element of bipartisanship that is necessary to advance the goals that we share. Neither political party, neither Democrats nor Republicans, have sufficient political power unto themselves unless they're working in coalition and unless they're reaching across the aisle to fashion meaningful solutions to make this work. Now, I'm not naive. I understand that political challenges await parents who attempt to organize. But we need to use these opportunities presented by the passage of new legislation and the data from the new Education Majority Poll to help reinforce the demands of parents of color that school systems provide the equal educational opportunity that the Constitution and state law and federal law require, and that we will not accept less as an answer. We're going to organize, we're going to pressure, we're going to continue to push. We are not going to accept inferior education as the result of changes in the law. It's unacceptable, and it doesn't matter, quite frankly, whether it's Betsy DeVos in the secretary's position or someone else. The standard of accountability for federal involvement remains the same, and we expect this administration to live up to its obligations as we have expected prior administrations to do the same, but it is up to us to bring the political pressure necessary to make that happen. I hope that helps to answer your question, Khalil, and I thought it was really good. And operator, I think this brings our call this afternoon to a close. I want to thank my colleagues, Matt Hogan, pollster from Anzalone List Research. I'd like to thank Liz King, Director of Education Policy at the Leadership Conference Education Fund. I'm Wade Henderson, outgoing president of the Leadership Conference, and I want to thank all of you for joining us on today's call. Operator, this brings our call to a close.